May the words of my lips and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, as I did with the kids, I'd like to talk to you about the first reading that we heard, the story of can you hear me okay? No? At the back? Hear me all right? Okay. Story of Jacob and Esau, which may or may not be familiar to you. It's a very important story, of course, the book of Genesis. And I'd just like to talk to you for a minute about my late brother-in-law, Charlie. So I first got to know Charlie died about 10 years ago. Is that right? Died about 10 years ago. Here in Calgary, the whole family moved moved from Manitoba to Alberta. Somebody said to me once, you came from the east, and I said to them, we didn't come from the east, just to let you know. Manitoba is not the east. But anyway, we moved out here. And Charlie and my sister had lived here for some time before that. So Charlie started to date my sister. I'm not sure, maybe I would have been 12, 13. They got married when I was about 15. And I just never thought he was good enough for her. She had dated guys who were kind of, he's a guy from Wawanisa, Manitoba. That's where the insurance company comes from, if you ever heard that. Little beautiful little town in southwestern Manitoba. And she dated guys that were from the city and were high status, highly educated. You know, I think a lot of my sister, obviously, my older sister, I admire her in lots of ways. And he was a mechanic from Wawanisa, Manitoba. And he was a real redneck. Let me tell you, I mean, I don't know, if people think Alberta is the home of being redneck, you've never been to southwestern Manitoba. He was a real redneck. And he would say things which were often embarrassing to his family. We'd sit around at dinner, we'd kind of roll our eyes. He'd say things which were intolerant. He expressed all of the wrong opinions. If you're a kind of an educated person that thinks maybe you're a bit of an intellectual, like I did when I was 15, and people would get angry. People would get angry with him at some of the intolerant things that he would say. And if he were alive today, he would be at the Stampede wearing his Republic of Alberta t-shirt. And there is no doubt about how he would vote in the upcoming referendum. You have to be from southwestern Manitoba to understand why you would vote for Alberta separation, but that's a long story. But it's undoubtedly true that that's the way he approached things, and that's the way he would understand things, and that's the way he would want things to go. He was a real Esau. In the respect that you listen to this story of Esau, he's not a redneck, but he was red, right? He was covered. It wasn't a complimentary thing for the writer to say about him, that he was hairy, he was rough, he was impulsive, he was given to being angry, as we've heard. He was hunting and fishing. And if there had been big, jacked up trucks in those days, Esau would have had one. And in the back of that truck, he might even have one of those flags that said uncomplimentary things about former Prime Minister Trudeau. And he would definitely have been Republic of Alberta t-shirt. And so, again, would say uncivilized is the portrayal of Esau. But then there's Jacob. And let's face it, you can understand why God chose Jacob rather than Esau. Jacob, it says, dwelt among the tents. It meant he was civilized, he was cultured, he was charming. This is all shorthand that's in there. He was charming, he was good with people, and he was sophisticated. That's, and his mother's favorite, as it mentioned, he was his mother's favorite. So if God had to make a choice between the two of them as to who was going to carry on the promise being that promise given to Abraham that the descendants of this person would be a light to the nations, you can understand why God would, of course, have chosen Jacob, the sophisticated one. You can see that again, his intelligence, his lack of impulsiveness, his knowledge that revenge is a dish best served well, his playing the long game, his strategy, his manipulativeness, his charm, which became a weapon against people, his knowing people's weaknesses, his not lack of angry outbursts, but his strategic planning. Maybe that's where things go off base a little bit when you think about it. Maybe Jacob was not chosen because of the virtuousness of his character after all. When you look at these two guys, you're going, oh, this guy is so much better than this guy. No, this guy's just a little more, how would you say it? A little more discreet. A little more discreet about how he handles his ambitions than his brother, who was just, you know, right out there. And here's the other part is this, and I shared it with the children. If you look at this, what happens when the brothers meet again? As I said to the kids, Jacob twice, this is the first time, the second time, where Jacob manipulates Esau out of the blessing, right? Does it twice with his mother's help, the second time, to the point where Esau, as you would expect for somebody as impulsive as him, saying to him, if I ever see you again, it's the last time I'm going to see you. And so when Jacob has to escape from him and then has no choice but to come back again, long story, years later, you can kind of expect, Jacob expects the inevitable to happen. But what happens is this. It is not the sophisticated, urbane, strategic, charming person who reveals the character of God. It is the redneck Esau, who, as I said to the kids, runs to his brother and reveals the character of God by offering him forgiveness. What's that do with our stereotypes? What's it do with my stereotypes, as a matter of fact? Well, it tells us, for one thing, that there would be no Jacob if there were no Esau. Yeah. Jacob's the hero of the story. He gets the blessing, and it turns out we don't know why. There's no obvious reason why God would choose Jacob over Esau to convey the blessing, because there is nothing better about him. But it does tell us that this story does not move forward without a supporting cast of characters. And that includes Esau. So, I have to confess that with my brother-in-law, who was very Esau-like in my mind, for years I felt condescending towards him. I think that's the nicest way to say it. You know, here I am. I've got a fancy education. I'm a vegetarian. I drive a Subaru. You know, what more could you ask for? And there's my brother-in-law, who's got all the wrong opinions and says all the wrong things, and you're embarrassed by him. And but then I noticed something about him as I got to know him better over the years. And it's this. Number one, after he got married to my sister, he really loved Jesus. He came to really love Jesus. And he really loved my sister. Second thing is, he wasn't stupid. He knew everybody was condescending to him, and he was extraordinarily patient with him. Number three, no matter what he said, no matter all the wrong opinions he gave, he was unfailingly gracious to everyone that he encountered, no matter who they were, no matter what their opinions were, no matter where they came from, no matter what they did. He was unfailing, gracious to everyone, to the hour of his death. So, is there room in the church? Can I make room in the church, in my heart, for the Jacobs and for the Esaus? Is it possible to do that? To look at people with whom I fundamentally disagree and say to them, man, you sure love Jesus. And you sure reveal the nature of God in the gracious way that you treat people. And you may not have the fancy education and driving the Subaru, but I can see the nature of God revealed in you. There's the summary of St. Paul's work, many scholars would say, is in the book of Ephesians, written by Paul himself, or perhaps even written by a disciple who wanted to summarize in clear form what St. Paul had to say. And what is the message of Ephesians? It is this, that in Christ, in his death and resurrection, God has broken down the wall between us, the barrier between us, so that there is room for everybody. The distinctions that distinguish us are no longer important. What distinguishes us is the fact that Christ has chosen us, broken down the wall between us, and made these things which seem so important, maybe not so important in the end. Is there room for, can I make room for Jacob and for Esau? I hope that I can. Can we all make room for Jacobs and Esau's? I hope we can, because Jesus did it. So I hope that we can do it too. I had a title. I don't usually give a title to the sermon, but I wrote a title on the way here. It's this, Shamed by Kindness. That's how I feel with my brother-in-law. Shamed by kindness. And liberated by that as well, which manifests the kindness of Jesus himself. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that the distinctions that we make among ourselves are of so little value and so little importance to us. You look deep within us, and you know us, and you love us. Thank you so much that we cannot make ourselves worthy in your sight, but your worthiness comes as a gift from you. You choose us. We don't know why, but we're grateful to you. Thank you for making your church so rich and so diverse. Help us to love you in that, and we ask this in your name. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.